Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have tips and reports for you from Jarrett McCarthy down at Hayward Bay and Bottle, and then we talk with fishing guide Jim Pierce about fishing up on the Shawamigan Bay and on Lake Superior for both open water and ice fishing. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
The Hayward area is a true snowmobile mecca with over 600 miles of groomed trails. In the middle of it all, you'll find us at Hayward Power Sports. We're open from 9 until 5:30, Monday through Saturday, with sales, service, parts, and rentals. Plus on Sundays, we're open for rental pickup and drop-off only from 9 to noon. Hayward Power Sports has 14 people staffing our parts and service departments Monday through Saturday. With state-of-the-art computer diagnostics and the most highly trained techs, nobody can get you back on the trail faster. Plus, with over $1 million parts inventory, we're likely to have your parts in stock. Hayward Power Sports is your Polaris and Ski-Doo dealer with the region's best selection of new and used sleds. Plus, our showroom is packed full of garments and accessories. Check out Polaris, Ski-Doo, Castle, 509, and Climb. Find Polaris, Ski-Doo, and Castle helmets and necessities like wear rods, belts, Hyphax, and oil. Want to get back on the trail fast? Come see Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77 or online at haywardpowersports.com.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. I got Jarrett McCarthy in here. Jarrett, let's talk a little bit about the ice conditions out there, first of all. I mean, I don't know if we'll ever get to where we got really, if we do, it'll be late. There's not a lot of ice out there. There's safe enough ice for walking out there and maybe snowmobiles, but there's not a huge amount of ice on the lakes.
And that's what we're hearing too. You know, the best travel right now out there is snowmobiles. Seems like a lot of your wheelers and your side-by-sides are kind of bogging down the snow and slush out there. But definitely plenty of ice to walk out on, and hopefully some of this snow lays down in the slush. But we just need some cold weather.
You need to make sure you got waterproof boots.
Waterproof everything the way it's going out there right now. Yep.
Let's talk about what's been biting. What have you heard? I know there's quite a few people out there after panfish.
Yeah, and that's what we're hearing too. Panfish and bluegill and crappie bite has been really good lately. Walleye bite has definitely slowed down to the midwinter blues, you know, as normal. And plenty of guys out there having some good luck with pike too.
You know, this time of year, usually we're talking basin bite on fish, but I've also had reports of guys getting crappies and bluegills and almost everything else on weed edges, weed lines, and up in wood on some of the flowages.
Yeah, yep. It's been different because, yeah, usually this time of year, you're out looking for suspended crappies in 20 to 30 feet of water, or, you know, slightly shallower, depending on how deep your lake is. But we've been hearing that, too. Some fish are still structurated up shallow on cribs or on weed lines or what have you, so it's kind of nice being widespread and that you don't need to head out over deep water with all this unsafe ice to find a bite. So plenty of fishing opportunities out there for panfish.
You know, and find those spots. If you were good, lucky enough to be marking spots on your GPS ahead of time during the summertime, the places you fish in the summertime, you should have those spots out there. But otherwise, you know, you got to use a good quality lake map and some of the locators now. I know like the Hummingbird series, Ice series, and some of the Garmin stuff has actually good mapping built into it. It's not no longer just a game of using a flasher anymore. You can actually go out there with a flasher that has a liquid crystal screen and you can have a map in it. And that can really help as far as finding those type of spots if you haven't been out there.
Yeah, it really does. You know, there's a lot to be said about the work that you can put in fishing before you head out on the water. And one of those ways that you can do that is with either some good electronics. You know, if you've got your Lake Master chip or what have you in your Humminbird, or if you just have a really good map, because you can take a look at places where you've had success in the summer and you can find spots that are, you know, either more accessible or look the same way that you can get out and scout on the ice. So you've got a plan when you go out there. You know, you're a lot more efficient when you go out with a plan of attack than if you are going out there all willy-nilly or what have you. So definitely do your homework before you hit the ice. It'll make a difference.
Let's talk a little bit about panfish presentation. I mean, typically most guys use like a little tiny teardrop jig and a waxy or a little tiny minnow on there for crappies, a lot of plastics. But we've seen so many changes in the jigs and the jig design and everything else and material of the jigs.
Yeah, we really have, and I think that's where a lot of guys give up fish right away, you know, starting with a smaller presentation, because a lot of those crappies that are sitting out in the basins right now, you know, if you get onto the right school, they are really, really aggressive, and you don't need to have that small presentation to get fish to go, especially for the bigger fish in that school. You know, a lot of what we're seeing right now is smaller spoons and bigger plastics and what have you that are going down the holes that are having success with these fish. And, you know, rightly so, because just because we're in winter doesn't mean fish won't be aggressive. So if you're looking at a 1/8, a 1/16 ounce spoon, you actually have some really good luck on crappies catching some bigger fish. And then once you finally pick those bigger fish out of the school, you can start to downsize, start to catch some of those finicky fish that are looking for a smaller presentation. But, you know, just getting the mindset of starting out big and going small. Because as soon as you go small, there is no step beneath small.
Hey, you're giving up my secrets here, Jared. I mean, literally, I found this out years ago. An 1/8 ounce jig with a fathead minnow. They're crappies. There's plenty of crappies 12 inches and up. It will take a good-sized fathead minnow.
Yeah, there really are. I mean, we've even had success for crappies on shiners, believe it or not, when they're in the right mood. So, yeah, you don't need to think super small when you're out there fishing for these fish. If you look at the size of a mouth on a 14, 15-inch crappie, I mean, you could get a really big bait in there, and I'm sure those crappies are thinking the same thing when they're looking at baits out there.
We caught them on 4.5-inch long metal crankbaits, but one thing I do in the summertime a lot, and I'll do it in the wintertime too if experimenting around, is I use a lot of everybody uses a lot of this 1-inch Berkeley gulp for crappies and panfish. I'll upscale to the 2.5-inch minnow and get bigger crappies.
Yep, it'll work just as well. Put it on a jig, work it slowly, work it quick, you know, for those more aggressive fish. Yeah, there's a lot to be said about bigger baits for panfish.
How about advantages of tungsten versus other one? You got to go the other way, and you got to go smaller and more finesse. You got to have enough weight to get down there. This new tungsten really helps to do that.
It really, really does. The way tungsten is working now, it's a smaller size jig with more weight, so that when you're fishing those deeper water basins, you know, when you get out there, these crappies are constantly moving, so getting on top of them fast before they're out of range of your Vexar or what you can see is so important. And with a lead jig, they fall so slowly, a lot of times you miss that opportunity to get on top of those fish. So with these new tungsten weights, instead of having to load up your ice fishing line with a couple sinkers and taking that sensitivity out of your noodle or your quick tip rod, these tungsten weights get down to these fish so fast, so you can make the most opportunity of these fish that are swimming by, and it helps anglers catch a lot more fish.
And let's talk a little bit about walleyes and pike. I mean, most people are kind of getting away from the walleye right now because that typically slows up midwinter, but there's still catchable fish out there. You just kind of watch your hours, usually right around dark time, you know, in the evening or after dark is good, but pike fishing can be pretty good.
Yeah, pike fishing's been really good. We've seen some really nice pike coming out of a lot of local lakes here. But, you know, pike, just like talking bigger baits earlier, you know, pike are out looking for a big meal right now. So a big shiner, a big sucker or something like that. And they're looking for an easy meal too. So, you know, if you're running those bigger live baits, don't be afraid to clip the tails or what have you.
Or use a dead one if he dies
on
you.
Yeah, or use a dead one. You know, big dead baits too. You know, those pike are definitely looking for a big bait. And they won't pass up a tasty looking shiner that's just kind of barely wiggling down there.
You know, and typically this time of year, we're looking at them bigger pike moving out a little deeper, but there's still, I'm hearing reports of guys getting them up on the edges yet.
Yeah, we are too. Yep. We're hearing some that are coming in, you know, less than 10 feet of water, you know, depending on the lake, but definitely some good spots to get to for pike that you don't have to go too deep.
And Jarrett, you guys got all the equipment everybody needs in here for the ice fishing, and you got some sales going on, I think Ken said last week.
Absolutely. Yep. We've got a sale on here on 5% off all your ice electronics and 10% off shacks and augers. So, you know, with all the ice that we have out there right now, you know, even if it's tough ice, if you got to get through it, we've got augers here for you. And if you want to shield yourself from the rain and snow, well, we got a roof to put over your head with a shack here too.
You bet. Lots of stuff, and you'll be getting stuff in here for spring too, because I'm counting the weeks now.
Yeah, I already started to get my spring stuff ready, but starting to get spring stuff ready, so we're putting it out as we get it in. So, yeah, we're ready for both seasons here.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks for having me, John.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we'll have some great tips on ice fishing and open water fishing on the Shawamigan Bay of Lake Superior from fishing guide Jim Pierce. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hunters and Anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in Hayward. They have a huge selection of ice fishing gear, including portable shelters, power augers, electronics, beaver dam tip-ups, ice rods, and just about anything you'll need for ice fishing. They also have archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzleloaders, ammo, and much more to help you enjoy the outdoors. While you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Rent some winter fun from Hayward Power Sports. We're Wisconsin's largest and most complete snowmobile rental service, offering a wide range of late model sleds from Polaris and Ski-Doo. All of our machines are frequently serviced by our certified technicians, and your rental includes a helmet. Plus, you'll be able to ride out the gate with access to 600 miles of groomed trails. To rent your winter fun, go to haywardpowersports.com, give us a call, or visit Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
At Hayward Power Sports, let's have some fun!
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on lodging and vacationing here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, one popular place to fish here in the Northland is up on Shawamigan Bay of Lake Superior. And on this week's show, we've got some great tips for both open water and ice fishing from fishing guide Jim Pierce on fishing up there. Well, Jim, you know, talking about Shawamigan Bay, I mean, that's a fishery that's close to Hayward here and that has a wide range of different fish once we get to open water. If ice fishing too, but open water, it's a pretty universal fishery for a lot of different things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been all over the world, and I came back here because at any point in time, Lake Superior has 73 different species, and it's the most dynamic and most condensed area that I've ever fished. I mean, we even have muskie up there. A lot of people don't know we have muskie. We do. There's everything. I mean, you have everything from lake sturgeon, which is a blast to get on the line, especially if you're using light tackle. To your perch, crappie, and stuff that you would catch inland. And then the current will change, and all of a sudden you'll start hitting, you know, cohos, browns, lakers, stuff like that coming through. It's a very dynamic, and it's a great fishery, and it's easy access.
Well, you know, even walleyes. I know there's some nice walleyes. Average size walleyes is pretty big up there. But it's like everything else. When you start talking muskies and you start talking walleyes, it's a big lake, and there's only specific areas that you want to target to go after those fish.
Right. It's kind of one of those things where you have to have in your mind, what am I going to catch today? What am I going to target today? Okay. And then you have that, and then you kind of back plan from that. What do you want to catch? And then you figure out from there, where are you most likely to catch that fish? You know, depending on currents, depending on ice conditions, what you've seen during open water season sometimes will tip you off to where ice fishing is going to be good. It all kind of depends, because everything out there in that bay is changing. Sometimes every storm that comes through will change. It'll be the difference of a day sometimes. You go out towards, like, let's say Long Island. The big sandbar that comes off of Long Island, I've seen that over the last 5 years change by almost 150 yards. Well, if you don't stay on it, then you go out there and think 1 year to the next, it moves. So with doing that, you kind of have a different approach. Like, let's say you're going to go after walleyes. Okay, so you're going to look at a little bit shallower water. Sometimes you'll go out deep, but you go look for shallower water, something with some cover, some pretty good current, and something that has bait fish nearby. Okay, that's where you're going to set up. So that will narrow you down to certain areas. If you're going to go after trout, after salmon, okay, you're going to go out a little bit deeper. You don't really have to worry about the weed bed. You don't have to worry about the weed edge, but you're going to look for a drop off. You know, so depending on the species that you're going to go after, depends on where you're going to go. And that'll narrow you down, like you said, to certain spots. And that, you know, you can't make the fish bite, but getting on the fish is 90% of the battle.
Well, you know, in talking about that, you know, one thing about big water systems like that is, too, whether you're dealing with walleyes in particular, but trout and salmon, everything else, they tend to roam a lot more rather than sit on one structure like they would right. In a smaller lake.
Right. So that's why I kind of look for spots that are like between a saddle or an inside corner or between two humps to where they're going to be moving back and forth from feeding back into deeper water and then back up in the shallows to feed and back down to deeper water. Or like for some of your other species like trout, salmon, stuff like that, you go look for a sharp drop off. They're going to follow the smelt, the herring, the whitefish, stuff like that, and they're going to chase those bait up onto the shallows. They're going to feed and then go back out to deeper water. So if you can get on those active areas, you can catch them both coming and going and in between. And that's where you kind of want to try and set up and just kind of get right in there. But there again, with being such a big area, sometimes you'll be out there fishing over 130, 140 feet of water, and there's absolutely nothing around you, but in the fish, you're having a great day just because they're floating on the current. Sometimes that right there will determine your day. I've fished 50 feet away from another guy. I'm nailing fish, he's not, all because the current has changed between where I'm sitting and where he is. So you kind of have that unexpected, natural, I guess, challenge that you can't really understand until you start putting lines in the water to figure out what's going on. We can give all the tips we possibly can, but until you get holes out there and eyes on, you're not really going to know 100% what you're doing, but we can give you a pretty good idea.
You know, when it comes to the open water up there, I know trolling is a real big thing, but there's times when you can do really well with traditional approaches rather than trolling.
Right. So I got into something a couple of years ago where I started doing some vertical jigging. And I was hardcore trolling, you know, running my birds, running my boards, and just going out there and finding whatever's active. Okay, you have certain baits, certain places to do that at. But with vertical jigging, it's the same thing as ice fishing. It's just like ice fishing, but only in out of a boat. And it's a lot more comfortable. And you kind of have a little bit more understanding of what's going on in the water column instead of just setting certain things up, kind of a shotgun pattern, hoping you come across something that's active. Where if you're vertical jigging, you go out to certain spots, okay, you start fishing there's nothing happening, you go to the next spot, okay, this is what they like, this is what they're going for, and then you can repeat that, and it's repeatable. Trolling, you're just hoping for that one good hit, you know, where you got a school of something there, and then after that, that'll kind of tell you what's going on. It's like ice fishing, there's certain colors, certain times of the year work great, and why not do that open water? And I've had some really good success with it. Yeah, it's been great.
You bet. Well, you know, and when you're fishing, you got a wide range of things. So if you start adding in factors like where you're talking jig fishing, adding in live sonar, like live scope or something, it changes the whole thing around again.
100%. So when you have many different types of locators, you know, like your panoptics, your live scope, your Hummingbird 360s, stuff like that. It's narrowing the guesswork out of it. You know, you're not going out there now and you're just looking at a flasher or just a simple sonar and going, okay, that's my bottom. Oh, there's a couple little blips on the screen. Those are fish. No, you can actually see down there virtually you know, what your bottom structure is, what's in the water column, and that narrows it down so much more. But there again, you're finding the fish. That's 90% of the battle. Now you got to try and get them. And you try, like, what I try and do is I try and match the hatch. That's, it always works for me. So if I'm down there and I'm seeing, you know, big browns or lakers or whatever coming through schools of smelt, I'll try and match the hatch. If I'm going up into the shallows and going for walleyes and you're seeing them down there on bottom feeding, okay, do you try and match the hatch? What are they going after? And that kind of helps out a little bit with your catch percentage, but having those electronics narrows it down so much more. I mean, it's no longer going out there and poking and praying out in the middle of the, you know, the world's largest lake. Now it's narrowing it down to, okay, you have a couple of key spots. You go over, scan them, see what you got, and then you can work from there.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that bring this show to you every week. When we come back, we'll have the second part of that talk we had with fishing guide Jim Pierce talking about the Shawmigan Bay. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hey, folks, come on over to Hayward Ace Hardware and check out the area's largest selection of firearms, ammo, and accessories. We carry top brands like Browning and Sig Sauer, and we have a great selection of the newest and hard-to-find models. We've got a large selection of ammo with more coming in daily. If you need a scope, we carry great brands like Leupold, Hawk, and EOTech, and we'll even mount it and boresight it for you, too. We even sell suppressors and silencers. And don't forget to check out our Guns of the Week. Huge discounts on a variety of pistols, rifles, and shotguns that change every week. So stop on in to Hayward Ace Hardware, your firearm superstore. Hayward Ace Hardware, Highway 63 North in Hayward, or give us a call at 715-634-8700.
This year, Dr. Ostrander and his staff at Hayward Animal Hospital will be celebrating 30 years. They thank you for your patronage. Hayward Animal Hospital continues to accept new clients and offers urgent care appointments daily. For same-day urgent care or emergency surgery, make sure you call early in the day as appointments fill rapidly. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, you know, we're going to jump right back into the second part of that talk we had with fishing guide Jim Pierce. And the big thing, too, when you're fishing up there is a safety factor, whether you're open water or whether you're ice fishing. Right now we're ice fishing, and you mentioned you've got some ice breaking floating around and some stuff there. You got to be real careful. There's been some tragedies happen up there over the years because of the safety factor, so you got to be really cautious on that.
Yes, sir. I mean, I remember when Jimmy Hudson went down.
Yep.
That was tragic. You know, a young guy, guide, wonderful guy personally, you know, he funny guy and everything, and he, you know, it happens. I've had a couple close calls. I don't think there's anybody out there that puts in a lot of time out on the bay that hasn't had close calls. Honestly, for the money, a float suit's a good little shot in the arm. You know, for the worst case scenario, having the best outcome possible is your gear. You look at basic things like a float suit. I know some guys that use the automatic inflatable life jackets, right, and they'll throw that on. Have any ice picks. Another thing is being able to read the ice conditions, seeing where other people have gone. If you're going out to unfamiliar area, carry a spud bar with. Just check it out. Yeah, it's going to take some extra time, but that extra time is going to make sure that you're going to come home. And that is paramount when going out fishing, is being able to come home and being able to tell a story.
Yeah.
Not being part of the story. And that's, you know, all these extra gear that's coming out, and it's for safety. And there's a reason why it's coming out, is because a lot of us older guys, and you in particular, you know, you're quite a bit older than me. I would imagine that you remember some times back in the day that, you know, if I would have had this or would have had that, it would have been a better day than what happened.
I don't go out on the ice without a float suit anymore. And, you know, if I was on the big lake, I can't remember the name of it right now, but there's a floatable raft that you attach to a SUV, a UTV.
The Nautilus. The Nautilus systems. Yeah. Yes. I've seen a few of them. I have friends that have them. And if you need them, they're there.
You bet.
And there again, it's another tool to put in your toolbox to make sure that you can come home safely.
And also open water. We're talking a little bit about open water and ice fishing here. The open water, safety is a factor there too, because now a lot of these spots that maybe you want to go walleye fishing, you better look at which way the wind is blowing coming in, because you're looking at big water on one side.
Oh yes, hands down. So personally, I've actually had to go out and helped out a couple boats before that they got caught in some pretty rough water. And I know I don't have the biggest and the baddest and the best boat out there, but the reason why I have the boat I do, it's 17 foot, it's narrow, high gunnels, and I can take on four and a half foot waves. And I'm secure in my knowledge of what my boat can handle, where other people will take boats out and then, you know, they're maybe a lower profile and they get out in some bigger waves and, oh man, now what do you do? And you got a long ways to come back out and around a point so you can hide on the lee side of it. You know, you have to be comfortable with the gear you have, the boat you have, and your abilities in being a captain out there. I've personally gone out and I've towed in a 27-foot cuddy all the way from the other side of Madeline Island all the way back to Washburn. They blew a coil in their boat.
Yeah.
And, you know, a friend of mine gave me a call and he's like, hey, we're out here, you know, there's 40-mile-an-hour west winds. You know, it's horrible. Can you help? Okay. And I knew, and I'm still would do it hands down anytime for any person that's out there. If they need help, I will do my best. But I was comfortable in taking the challenge, and I brought him back safely, and I got him all the way back into the harbor. And yeah, that was like, you get all the way back and then it kind of hits you like, what in the hell was I doing out there? But my buddy made it back safe.
Been there, done that.
Yeah.
You know, and good advice for fishing that type of water is in any big lake for that matter. If you're over in Minnesota and you're fishing Leech Lake or something, have several good spots from different angles that you can go
yes.
to. And then you can fish those spots according to the existing wind conditions and weather patterns. So you always got a place to go. Don't be stuck with one spot you want to go to and the wind is all the wrong direction.
Right. And also remember where all of your landings are. Like there you have Ashland, Washburn, Bayfield. You have a small little landing in between Washburn and Bayfield right there where the Sioux River comes out. Up and around you have Frog Bay, all the rest of those, plus all the islands that are out there. You have to know where your position is. So if you get caught in something bad, you know the fastest and most direct route to get to safety. It doesn't matter if you're on Lake Superior, Swamigan Bay area, or if you're in Lake of the Woods, you have to know your position and where you're at and always have that secondary plan and go through those scenarios in your mind. So that way you kind of know, okay, the wind's kicking this way. Okay, it's switching. It's coming from this way. Well, if it gets bad, this is where I'm going to head. Okay, the wind's switching again. Okay, if it gets bad, this is where I'm going to go. And this is my plan. And if you have a crew or you're out with a couple other guys, let them know too before you even leave the dock. Hey, you know, today this is the wind conditions, this is what's going to go on, and kind of go over that plan with them. So in case it's the worst case scenario, you have the best outcome possible with what you have. And that makes all the difference, is preparation for what you can't anticipate.
Well, Jim, I want to thank you for taking the time here with our listeners out there. Anybody wants information on your guide business up there?
Okay, so my email address is jimpierce1980@gmail.com. My phone number is 715-208-4096. Honestly, text messages work better because either I'm out in the woods or out in the water. And that's honestly the easiest way to get a hold of me, and we can figure it out from there.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at WNOradio.com. And from there, you can link to our podcast site, and the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm gonna take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.